Welcome to the Inside Scoop Live podcast, where indie authors get personal about their books, their writing, and their passions. I'm your host, Sherry Hoyt. Join me for some lively conversations with debut indie authors and seasoned veterans alike. It's a great place to find your next amazing read or even get inspired. So sit back and enjoy the show and let me know what you think. Hi, everyone. Tara Stone joins the show today to talk about her latest novel, 680 Miles Away. It's a story about Evie, a young musical prodigy facing personal turmoil, a pandemic, and romantic entanglements while uncovering a family secret in Scrub Oak, Colorado. Before we get started, here's the inside scoop on the author. Tara Stone started writing fiction when she was in first grade and discovered the thrill of screenwriting when she studied communications media at John Paul the Great Catholic University. Screenplays are her favorite way to tell stories, but novels are quickly gaining. She hopes her writing will contribute to a revival of Catholic fiction. After successfully self-publishing two screenplays as paperbacks and ebooks, she partnered with two of her former film professors to create Storymasters Film Academy, which offers online courses in screenwriting and directing. Tara resides in Colorado, and in 2016, she became a consecrated virgin living in the world of the Diocese of Colorado Springs. In addition to making things up and writing them down, Tara enjoys praying, hiking, definitely not running, going to the symphony, especially movies at the symphony, discovering new craft brews, and spending time with family and friends. You can learn more about Tara Stone and her work at tarajstonewriter.com. Well, hi, Tara. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm excited to hear about your novel, and this is your latest novel, 680 Miles Away. Tell us a little bit about the story and maybe what inspired you to write this book.
Well, the story is about a violinist sort of post-college age, though she didn't finish college, but sort of navigating new adulthood and learning how to face life instead of running away from it. She has a sort of troubled history and past of like running away from troubles all the time. And so this novel is about her sort of a character defining moment that leads her to learn how to face life instead of running away whenever things get difficult.
Ah, okay. Well, I think a lot of us can relate to that in some form or fashion.
Yeah. And then you asked me what inspired it. It's actually sort of a spinoff of my first novel, Six Blocks Home, which was about a 12-year-old girl whose parents are in a terrible accident. And so she ends up moving in with her neighbors. So there's just like a tiny little detail at the end of Six Blocks Home that I took and sort of spun off into a novel all its own. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I love that. And the names are similar too. And you have a really cool story about how you came up with the title of your book. Can you share that with us?
Sure. It was sort of an accident, actually. So I have been working on this novel for several years, really since Six Blocks Home came out, because as soon as it came out, readers started asking me if there would be a sequel. And so I started working on ideas, but it took me several attempts to figure out exactly what story I wanted to write and what part of that story I wanted to write. And so that throughout that whole process, I was trying to think of the right title. And I thought maybe if I found a right title, it would help me find the right story. But it didn't. It happened the other way around. I finally found the right story. And it was about the midpoint of the story that I realized that all three of the locations that are sort of important to the story, they're all about 680 miles away from each other.
Oh, wow.
And so I knew that I wanted a title that played on the concept of distance, just like Six Blocks Home plays on that concept. So I wanted to connect it thematically that way, but it was just sort of an accident that I stumbled on the exact distance. So
I love that. Some of the best stories are the stories behind the story, I think.
Yeah.
Can you introduce us to Evie, kind of maybe shed some light on her personality and the journey she embarks on in your story?
So she's a musical prodigy. She has perfect pitch. So she's a violinist. She also plays the guitar. Sings very well. And so that has always come really naturally to her, but relationships have not always come naturally to her. She struggled with her family relationships growing up and then through college, also struggled with her peers because of her talent. So 680 Miles Away is really about her figuring out how to trust people, number one, and number two, how to figure out who she is, really. She struggles with her identity throughout the novel, always throughout her life. She's struggled with her identity, who she is, where she belongs, who she belongs with. And by the end of the novel, she has an idea of who she is that's not based on other people. That's really sort of digging deep and finding her identity and her faith and who she is, regardless of who's around her.
Now, her best friend, Finn, plays a significant role in the story. What can you tell us about them?
Finn is, she doesn't think of him as her best friend. Her best friend is a girl named Regina, but she doesn't really feature in the novel very much, just as like she's kind of this absent best friend. And so along the way, Evie kind of discovers that Finn is actually her best friend, because he's the one who's there. He's just sort of a goofy guy, outgoing, encouraging, and just present. He's the one who's sort of rooting for her. That's a force that she needs in her life.
Now, you mentioned Evie's faith, and then in your bio, you note that you hope your writing will contribute to a revival of Catholic fiction. And I just want you to know that you are the second author I've interviewed in the past month who just wrote a Catholic novel.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I think there are more of us out there than it seems, but I don't know, like when you search for Catholic fiction on Amazon or something, like there nothing comes up. You know what I mean? That people don't categorize it that way, but I think that the arts in general are really important to any evangelization effort.
So, what role does it play in this novel, religion and faith?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely not a preachy book. There's no like major conversion that happens or anything, no like altar call or something like you see in some Christian fiction. But Evie is definitely Catholic. Finn is also Catholic. And the book is just more and more about Evie's reliance on God and sort of figuring out that no matter what happens in her life, she can depend on God, she can trust him, and that she can do anything as long as she's got that relationship with Jesus intact. And so it's just sort of her journey, not of coming to faith, but growing deeper in her faith. So there's a lot of Catholic elements, things that will be familiar to Catholics, like the concept of going to adoration. There's a lot of quotes from saints and scripture, just things that a Catholic audience will find really familiar and comfortable. I've had a lot of readers who are not Catholic at all, and they have not commented on it at all, one way or the other. But they've given me 4 and 5 star reviews, so I guess it doesn't bother them.
Would you call it like a niche of religious fiction?
Yeah, I think it is. Six Blocks Home is kind of the same way. There's just a lot of sort of like Catholic insider knowledge in it, I guess. Like, yeah, there's three scenes, I think, three chapters that show like what's happening in the confessional with Evie and one other character, Sam, which I think is like often depicted not well in movies and books because it's often depicted in sort of a, I don't know,
Dark,
overly
scary closet.
dramatic, or yeah, I just wanted to provide sort of an authentic inside view of what receiving the sacrament of reconciliation actually looks like. So
I can't think of any movies right now, but they show the confessional and then they show people in there and they're not necessarily doing what they're supposed to be doing in there, but they're exchanging, high espionage secrets, and I don't know. You just you get this dark feeling about the confessional booth,
It's supposed to be a place of hope and healing. So it's things like that. It's just I wanted to show something that's more authentically Catholic than what you often see in media.
Now, you also mentioned her music, Evie's music. How did you approach kind of integrating the music into your storyline and her character development? Were there any personal insights or experiences that kind of informed this aspect of your book?
Yeah, a lot actually. I'm a musician myself. I play the trumpet, and I have played the trumpet since I was 10 years old. And before I became a writer, before I studied writing, I'll put it that way, before I started studying writing, I studied music at the University of Denver. And a lot of my experiences of music school sort of found their way into Evie and Finn's story because they are formerly classmates from music school. Evie is a violinist, and I, as a trumpet player, had no experience with a string instrument, but I knew when I wanted to make her a violinist, I knew that I needed sort of insider knowledge on that. Like, what does it actually feel like to feel the violin resonating against your shoulder? What does it feel like to pull the bow across the strings? So I took violin lessons for a summer just to get sort of some of those authentic details of what it's like to play the violin. But the music that the characters listen to also plays a huge role. And so for the first time for anything that I have written, I made playlists for each character, like what they would listen to. And so when I was writing their scenes, I would be listening to their playlists to just sort of get into their mental space, their emotional space, like what it's like to be them.
Oh, I love
So
that. Yeah.
yeah, it music is really, really important to me in my life, but also it's I have a really hard time writing without music on. So it just sort of sets the tone for me.
Wow, that's great. And everyone's different, but music is such a big part of your life that when you can do music and writing together, I can't do anything else while I'm writing. But they say write what you know, don't they? And music, that makes a lot of sense now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because I think Catholicism and music are like my biggest pet peeves when I read other people's work, because I'm like, that would never happen. Those are always the two things that I pick up on. So, I guess my writing is sort of a what I hope to be a remedy to that.
Now, we talked a little bit about themes. What inspired you to blend kind of the heavier themes like Evie confronting her past with the power of friendship and lighter moments? How did you manage to intersperse these different emotions?
Yeah. I think the key is authenticity. Again, it's human to experience both. Even when you're going through tough times, like there's still moments where you just like break out in laughter, right? 'Cause a friend tells a funny joke. So I think those lighter moments are an organic part of who the characters are and what their experiences would be like if they were real people. That's kind of always where I'm trying to write from is not what would I do in this situation, but what would my character do in this situation? And none of them are, hopefully, none of them are just flat, mono emotional characters, you know? They have an emotional range and they have a full life of experiences that shape their reactions to each moment. So those moments just sort of come out organically, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like you said, authenticity is the key. And, I always say readers can feel that when it's coming, authentically from an author, because I don't know how, you just can. You can feel it through the writing. Yeah.
Before I got into novel writing, I did screenwriting was my main thing. And I remember working with a director once, and I handed in a draft of a script, and she was like, "It just feels like your heart wasn't in it." And I said, "Well, I guess I'm just trying to protect my heart because I knew I was going to get like criticism back." And she was like, "But then you're not doing your job. Like, it's the writer's job to put our heart out there, even if we know that that makes us extremely vulnerable." But I that has just always stuck with me is like, if I'm not putting my heart on the page, I'm not doing my job.
Right. Wow, that would be a quote that I would remember probably forever. Yeah. 680 miles away also emphasizes the bond of sisterhood. What ways do you think this theme resonates best with your audience? And what is the deal with sisterhood?
Oh my. So I'm the youngest of five children, and three of my siblings are sisters. So I have a lot of experience with sisterhood. And I think I am like abundantly blessed with just the best sisters in the world. But I think it's a theme that resonates with all women on some level. Even if women don't have sisters or if they don't have good relationships with their sisters, I think there's something in each one of us that just longs for that kind of relationship with another woman, that there's something so unique about sisterhood and something so beautiful about it. It's sort of like romantic love. Like, even if you haven't experienced it, you know what it is to long for it, right? I think the idea of sisterhood is kind of the same way. And I think even men, even if they can't relate with sisterhood in particular, I think there's a longing for fraternity among men as well. That idea of like brothers and sisters is just so primal, such a primal need for humans that I think it's a a theme that resonates with pretty much everybody.
Yeah, I would say for women and sisterhood, it's for some women, a lot of women, I think it's hard to have other women friends and
Yeah, I actually just finished this great reading this great book by Mother Mary Frances called But I Have Called You Friends. And it's a series of talks that she gave to the novices in her religious order on the art of friendship. And she talked about how we ought to be experts in friendship as Christians. And she addresses a lot of the specific issues that women have in friendships. It's a really beautiful book. And it spoke very deeply to me because I think friendship is, it's sort of a vocation for me, I think, is friendship.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious, why did you choose Scrub Oak, Colorado during the pandemic as a setting for your story?
Well, that's sort of a two-part question. So Scrub Oak is a fictional place. There's no such place as Scrub Oak. But I am a Colorado native, so you were saying earlier, write what you know, and I know Colorado, so I set the story in Colorado. But Scrub Oak is supposed to be like a fictional suburb of Denver that's kind of like Littleton or Highlands Ranch or somewhere in that area on the south side of Denver.
It's a great name.
Yeah, there are a lot of towns in Colorado that are named after trees. Scrub Oak just seemed funny to me because it's like the worst tree ever. But it's just so common here in Colorado, scrub oak, so I thought it was kind of funny. But during the pandemic was just sort of a matter of story logic, I guess, the story timeline, because the story follows about 5 years after Six Blocks Home, and Six Blocks Home took place in 2015. So it was just a matter of needing that to line up. And then when I figured out that that would mean 2020, I was like, wow, that just provides such fertile ground for obstacles and conflict and just sort of this extra layer of complexity that these characters have to deal with while they're dealing with all these other normal life things.
Yeah, but the focus is not the pandemic, so it just happens during that timeline.
Yeah, I mean, Evie is pretty opinionated about what's happening with the pandemic. But I mean, other than that, it's not really a focus of the plot in any significant way.
You just really can't write a story during that timeline without mentioning it, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, 680 Miles Away can be read as a standalone, but you mentioned it was a follow-up to Six Blocks Home. Were there any challenges you faced to ensure the book was accessible to, new readers while also satisfying the fans of your first book?
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever written a sequel of any kind. So it was definitely a challenge to try to think about both those aspects of trying to come up with something fresh and something that could stand on its own, but also wanting to satisfy all those people who were asking me about a sequel when Six Blocks Home came out. So I think the biggest challenge or the thing that I wanted to avoid was I didn't want Sam and Tobias, who are the characters in the first novel, I didn't want their relationship to feel either stagnant or unnecessarily filled with conflict. I feel like a lot of sequels sort of impose conflict on the couple that got together at the end of the first installment just to sort of like create drama, but it either feels unnatural or it just makes the first thing feel completely unsatisfying because you're like, well, now when I see them get together at the end, I know it's not real or it doesn't last. You know what I mean? It's
Oh, right.
it just sort of feels like a step backwards. So I didn't want to do that. But they are not the main characters in 680 Miles Away. Evie and Finn really are. So I think that helped telling it from a different character's perspective. And that moving it up 5 years helped because it sort of moved them to a completely different place in their relationship. So, but yeah, I've heard from readers on both sides, those who have read Six Blocks Home and those who have not, and they're all seeming to love it. So I guess I did my job.
Absolutely, yeah. Our reviewer, she didn't have any problems with it at all.
That was my biggest fear because actually, all of my beta readers actually had read Six Blocks Home. And so when I released the novel, by the time I had released it, I had no idea how people were going to react who hadn't read the first one. So it was like kind of terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What kind of things have readers said Was there anything that kind of surprised you that readers might have said about 680 miles away? Something you weren't expecting?
Gosh, I have a friend who gave both books to her sister, and her sister just recently lost her daughter.
Oh no.
She passed away like a little over a year ago. But my friend's sister, I was talking to her the other day, and she said that both books helped her sort of turn a corner in her healing. And that just, sorry, I'm gonna get emotional now. Like hearing that, just that means more to me than all of the sales and all the 5-star reviews in the world, that it like affected somebody's heart that way.
Yeah.
Just is so beautiful to me.
Oh my gosh, you're giving me goosebumps.
I'm sorry.
No, that's wonderful. And yes, oh wow. That's priceless. Yeah. Let's bring it back around. Let's go a little lighter now. Are there any authors or specific works that influence your writing style or the development of 680 Miles Away?
I think the first person I have to credit is he's my screenwriting professor, but he's also an author, is Christopher Riley. His classes, his mentorship, and now his friendship has just been so instrumental in my ability to tell stories at all. From a reader's perspective, I would say there are two authors that I sort of indirect, they're indirectly influence my work. Jeff Wheeler and Sever Brawny. They're both fantasy writers, so completely different genre, but they just both have a way of describing matters of the heart that I really love. And so I think the way that they portray relationships and matters of the heart and really coming of age themes too. I think those are all things that I am inspired by in their work.
Yeah. Oh wow. That's interesting. I have to check them out. Fantasy writers with a heart,
Yeah,
huh? That came
yeah.
out wrong, but yeah.
Yeah, fantasy is actually my favorite genre to read, but I have not been courageous enough to try to write it myself.
Oh yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, you've got to build worlds, you've got to, maps and oh, that just
It's the world building is the intimidating part to me. I don't have a terribly visual imagination. And I think that's maybe obvious in my books. The like music plays a much bigger role than any images do, I think. And it's because I'm more of an auditory person, so.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. So, how long has 680 Miles Away been out now?
So it released on April 2nd, so
Oh, new. Yeah.
so it's brand new, and has done quite well in its first day of release. I sold 10 times more copies of 680 Miles Away than I did of all three of my other published works combined in 3 years. So,
That's amazing. Congratulations.
thank
Wow.
you. Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess it might be a little too soon to talk about what's next then, since 680 Miles Away just came out. But do you have any plans eventually to write another book?
I do. I always have plans. I do have a full-time job that is not novel writing, so I always have to balance that, which is not always easy. What I like to tell people is I'm not a procrastinator, I'm a percolator. Ideas have to percolate in my mind for a long time before I'm ready to commit them to paper. So it took me more than 3 years to put 680 Miles Away out there. But once I actually started working on the draft that people have in their hands now, I wrote that in 3 months. So like once I get to it, I can go super fast, but it's got to live in my head for a long time.
Yeah,
So
that's a lot of percolation. Yeah. Well, Tara, is there anything else you wanted to add today?
I don't think so. I'm so honored by this opportunity and appreciate all the things that you guys are doing for me. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing a little bit more about you and your work. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. It's
All
been
right.
wonderful.
Thank you so much for joining me today for my interview with Tara Stone, author of 680 Miles Away. You can learn more about Tara and her work at tarajstonewriter.com. And be sure to check out our other interviews at insidescooplive.com.